And you are listening to Radio RMN on the Micro Effect Radio Network. And my guest today is John DiNardo. John, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. Because normally when I am using Skype, I get a rather strange feedback. And right now there's absolutely no feedback at all. So I am hoping that this is the best connection we have ever had. Folks, I wanted to tell you a little bit about John DiNardo. He's been been researching the crimes and corruptions and unusual things of governments worldwide for longer than I can even imagine. He was someone that I looked up to years ago. I mean, going back 30 years ago.
I'm not that old.
Well, it seems to me I was going back 30 years in the 1980s. Didn't you do a radio show in New York in the 1980s, or you were a regular guest on one?
No, I did not. I never had a radio show. But you and I did meet on the Internet back in the mid-1990s.
I have CDs of you doing radio shows.
Really? Wow.
Yes. So you may have forgotten them.
Maybe I had a case of amnesia. Maybe some black ops people have destroyed part of my brain. I don't know.
Do you know what that is called when the black ops do that? It's called Swiss cheese. That's the black ops name for it. And you would be surprised how many people have Swiss cheese in their brain that don't even know they have Swiss cheese. They don't even have a clue that something could have happened to them.
Wow, that's scary.
And most of the people who don't even have a clue are military officers. And if there is anybody that should wonder what kind of information has been selectively taken out of your brain, it's military officers. It's anybody in the government or anybody in the military. And, of course, every now and then there are, private individuals like you and me that may have accidentally stumbled onto something that they don't want us to know. And so rather than just kill us because they think maybe we can be useful to them in the future for something that we don't even know we could be useful to them for, they just do the Swiss cheese thing.
Well, thank goodness I've got enough Swiss cheese left that I could at least be coherent for an hour.
Well, that's the way that I feel about myself, too. I have missing time, and I know that, not only do I have missing time, but I have the marks in my arm where, I knew that I had had some sort of a shot. But at least whatever they did, for the most part, I am coherent. And, of course, now most people will think, oh, she's just a government plant getting out government-sanctioned information. And, John, one of the reasons that I set up Rumor Mill the way that I did is we've got over 150 people from all around the world. Most of the people I do not know. They could be government agents, but I think that most of them are just ordinary human citizens of their countries trying to make a better world for everyone. I do not edit. I only censor if they're going off and threatening to kill people and that sort of thing. You can't threaten to kill anybody on Rumor Mill News, because if I allowed that, Rumor Mill News wouldn't be around. But that's the reason that I allowed Rumor Mill to grow up the way that it did, rather than keeping the focus on me, because no one, no human being should believe that they are beyond the reach of our government's mind control programs. And if there's anybody out there in the audience that says, oh, well, they don't have me, the ones who deny it the most are the ones that probably, are under the control of somebody. Well, John, one of the reasons, I got to tell my audience that one of the reasons John's on the radio today is because he and I were having this incredible conversation, and I kept saying, we should be doing this over the air, And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this over the air. And so let's just jump right into it. Right at the moment, if you look at the television, all you're going to see is Congresswoman Gabby Giffords or the shooting in Tucson. You're not going to see anything about dead birds, dead bats, dead fish, dead crabs. You're not going to see anything about the radar anomalies in the sky when the birds died. You're not going to see anything about a lot of the anomalies that we have had around the Earth. And so, John, what do you think is going on right now? Oh, I didn't even mention John Parsons Wheeler III. So,
well, yeah, I mean, he may be connected. I've heard rumors that he may have been connected to the knowledge of the bird and fish deaths that are occurring worldwide, and perhaps he was going to reveal this information. I just don't know. You know, it's just a rumor. That's why, but I can only tell you what I know from my long research in the celestial objects that are have entered our solar system, and that is they're creating a terrible trauma between the sun and the Earth, disturbing the Earth's magnetic field, disturbing the Earth's mostly molten iron core, which in fact generates the Earth's magnetic field. That molten, swirling molten iron core swirling around like a bowl of liquid on a potter's wheel is in fact what I believe. Now, I don't know. I haven't done a lot of scientific reading on the theories as to how the Earth's magnetic field is generated, but from my knowledge as a former high school physics teacher, someone who has a bachelor's degree in science education and has been an electrical engineer for most of my career, I can tell you that swirling magnetic melted molten liquid will, because of the motion of these charged atoms of magnetic material as they swirl in motion, they will generate an electromagnetic field that radiates outward, sort of like rings within a ring. Now, if you can visualize a ring, a huge horizontal ring like a hula hoop, but there are many rings placed inside of this or in the loop itself, so that you have rings situated all throughout the ring itself. Well, those rings threaded within the ring itself are likened to the Earth's magnetic field that radiates outward, sort of like the skin of an apple would envelop the apple itself. That's how the Earth's magnetic field is situated. I believe it's created by the swirling molten iron core. Now, when the Earth's molten iron core becomes disturbed by outside magnetic forces, which are actually the sun creating these electrical disturbances to our magnetic field, then that swirling molten iron core becomes disturbed, and it's no longer like a smoothly whirling bowl on a potter's wheel, but it's like as if the potter's wheel were actually jarred and caused to wobble as it was spinning, rotating, as it's rotating. The liquid inside the bowl, if you can visualize, the liquid would no longer be swirling smoothly, but would start to slosh around. And that's what I believe is happening to the Earth's mostly molten iron core. I can see the shadow of that effect, so to speak, the effect of it on the Weather Channel as I watch and study the Weather Channel day by day, as I've been doing since 2004 for the past 6.5 years, I see that jet stream pattern changing and becoming more and more pronounced, more magnified in its abnormality. That abnormality is becoming more and more magnified around the world. The jet stream whipping up and down like a cracking of a bullwhip. And this tells me that the Earth is going into, Earth's magnetic field at least is wobbling. So anyway, getting back to your initial question,
John, let's continue that for a bit. Did you read the articles on the Tampa airport being shut down because what, magnetic north was causing problems because it had switched?
Yes, I read that. And that's a credible report from the Tampa Bay online newspaper. That indeed, something happened to the Earth's magnetic field, and the planes were not, their navigation systems were being erroneously guided, and there were problems in aeronautics because of this quirk or this pulse or spike in the Earth's magnetic field. Now, this spike may have been momentary. It appears to be, to me, from my very brief study of it. I haven't really studied much, so I cannot really give you anything conclusive, but it appears to me that there was a sharp spike in the magnetic field, where the magnetic field around the Earth went awry for a short period of time. And it appears, again, this is just an educated guess based on the knowledge we have, it appears that these deaths of birds and fishes around the world may be related to this spike in the Earth's magnetic field. When you consider the broad spectrum, the broad coverage of, I should say, the worldwide incidence of bird and fish deaths, it's difficult for anyone to try to blame the government for it, or phosgene gas, or weapons testing. Now, it could be HAARP. HAARP is certainly something that has a worldwide influence, and that's man-made. But it could also be in the magnetosphere. I'm not sure which it is. When you mentioned Wheeler, though, something came to mind real quickly. Now, if they perhaps, again, speculation only, if Wheeler was killed because he was going to talk about some experiment, maybe a HAARP experiment that was being done that would kill wildlife around the world, certainly they would have killed him for that. And this, therefore, it's within the realm of possibility that this wildlife death around the world, in Sweden, Italy, the United States, etc., could have been caused by a man's surreptitious electrical experiments with the atmosphere called HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, High Altitude Auroral Research Project, which has been based in Canada, from what I understand. That's my
now,
theory on
now
that.
There are quite a number of people that are trying to say it was caused by scalar weapons, and I don't know enough about HAARP. Would HAARP have a component in it that is scalar?
Well, you know, I always thought that there was a close relationship between scalar weapons and HAARP weapons. In fact, there may be two names for basically the same techniques, the same electromagnetic principles. I don't know, because I haven't studied the science of HAARP or scalar weapons very much. I know there's a Colonel Tom Bearden who is supposed to be, whose name has been used quite often as the expert on scalar weapons, and I believe he has been threatened by the government, and I don't know if his material is still out on the internet, but people really should, maybe some of your listeners can look up or call in if they know anything about Tom Bearden, B-E-A-R-D-E-N, I believe, and who is and who may provide information on scalar weaponry.
That might be a really good idea for me to give out the call-in numbers right at the moment. If you want to call in, the number is 888-747-1968, 888-747-1968. But if you've got free long distance, save Joe some money and call 208-935-0094, 208-935-0094. And I just realized that I hadn't even gone into the chat room, because our chat room is where some of our best questions come from. And for some reason, I'm not being allowed to log into the chat room. Wow, isn't that interesting?
Well, yeah, I can't. May I just give a brief introduction as to this phenomenon of the approach of Planet X into our solar system?
Well, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about. Yes, go ahead and talk about that.
Okay, I'll make it brief. This Planet X is, I've got information that goes way back from the federal government of the United States, the federal government in the agency of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, delivered a very important landmark announcement to the world, actually, through the New York Times, way back in 1983, before these well-meaning, sincere NASA scientists were muzzled by the National Security Agency, which overrules all of the intelligence agencies, all the agencies of the U.S. government. But before they were muzzled, these well-meaning and, sincere scientists at NASA put out this information. I'm going to read you the article that they presented to the New York Times. I've got the actual article that I photocopied at my library. It's dated January 30th, 1983. Okay, remember that date, January 30th, 1983. The title of the article is Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X by John Noble Wilford. Something out there beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some gravitational force keeps perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits. The force suggests a presence far away and unseen, a large object that may be the long-sought planet X. Evidence assembled in recent years has led several groups of astronomers to renew the search for the 10th planet. They are devoting more time to visual observations with the 200-inch telescope at Mount Palomar. They're tracking two Pioneer spacecraft now approaching the orbit of distant Pluto to see if variations in the spacecraft's trajectories can provide clues to the source of this mysterious force. That would be, incidentally, gravitational pulling on these space probes caused by this giant, massive, unseen but gravitationally felt celestial body. That's my comment.
John, I want you to go further on to Planet X, because many, many years ago, Planet X was in the newspapers. You could pick up a newspaper and you could read articles, credible articles, about Planet X. And the man who was the head of the Naval Observatory, whose name I cannot remember, and you know the story better than I do, so I'm going to let you tell the story about him.
Okay. May I just read a little bit more to give people the background on this?
Absolutely.
Dr. Harrington, I'll just give you a brief preview, and Dr. Harrington, many researchers, and I'm sure people, even his colleagues, believe that Dr. Harrington was murdered because he was about to disclose to the world his discovery of Planet X. He was one of the leading astronomers in the world. He was the chief astronomer at the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., and was about to display his photographic findings that this planet was not only located, telescopically sighted where he had calculated it was, but also he had discovered that this planet is incoming, approaching, about to intrude into our solar system. This was back in 1992. When he had dispatched an 8-inch telescope to the Black Birch Observatory in New Zealand, the reason being that this object was below our solar system's ecliptic disk, that is, the invisible disk in space on which all of our planets revolve around the sun. So in order to see it, if that man cannot see his feet, if his belly is blocking his view, well, that's like planet Earth is a big fat man. And if you're in New York or Chicago, you're up near the fat man's head and you cannot see the feet of planet Earth. So you have to travel down to an observatory located near the South Pole in order to see this thing coming in below Earth in the southern skies. So he dispatched an 8-inch telescope there. They took photographs, and actually he wrote it up. We've got the document where Dr. Harrington stated that he was doing this, and he was going to study these photographic plates from New Zealand and then give us his conclusion. The photographs were taken. The plates were returned to Washington, D.C. in the middle of 1992. Everyone, the world was waiting for Dr. Harrington's reply, his announcement as to the findings in these photographic plates. However, nothing was ever said. In January of 1993, Dr. Harrington died of a fast-acting esophageal cancer. Very suspicious, because many other people who had to be silenced by the power elite were also killed by fast-acting cancer. Jack Ruby, the one who murdered Lee Harvey Oswald, was one.
Ava Perot was the first. The first in CIA history.
Oh, Ava Perot, yeah, the Argentinian wife of the premier, president of Argentina.
And the main reason is they'd thrown the English out. They'd taken control of their bank again, and they didn't want, the CIA bankers didn't want that precedent to go worldwide, shall we say.
Oh, right. Just like they killed Mossadegh, the prime minister of Iraq. Way back in the 1950s, that was Kermit Roosevelt, a relative of the former President Roosevelt. Kermit Roosevelt was a high-ranking CIA officer, and he masterminded the assassination of Mohammad Mossadegh, the premier of Iraq, I believe. Yes, Iraq, way back in 1954, I believe.
And so it goes on the and on. Thing that we have to...
Omar Torrijos. Of Panama, was it not, in an airplane crash?
Mm-hmm.
So, Olaf, Swedish Prime Minister Olaf Palme was murdered.
Oh yes.
Street.
So, how many others have we done in that? International banker side of our CIA. Those are the people that are responsible for, for the leaders, the world leaders that the CIA has killed.
They even murdered historical President Andrew Jackson back in the early 1800s. He called them a den of vipers, Nicholas Biddle in his banking, den of vipers. And President Andrew Jackson says, "I will root you out, you den of vipers." And his death shows signs of long-term poisoning. They poisoned him slowly.
And if I'm not mistaken, they killed his wife, too, because he was so much in love with her that they felt he would not accept the presidency with her with her dead. And so they killed both of them.
Wow. Well, we can go on to John F. Kennedy Jr., his plane crash. And, Carolyn, we've got evidence. And, I was the only person, I believe, in the world to obtain videotapes of the WCVB television station in Boston that did the all-day plane search special on the missing flight of John F. Kennedy Jr. back in July 19th, 1999. And, I distributed copies of that tape to many JFK researchers. It's all over the place now. It's been widely distributed.
But
in that videotape, we can see the evidence. Like President Nixon had said, it's not so much the crime that gets you, it's the cover-up. And we can see the cover-up very blatantly on that video.
Continuous
broadcast coverage of the search for the John F. Kennedy Jr.'s plane.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I tell people they have to do, they've got to keep, if you've got a VCR that records or if you've got a DVD player that records, you've got to keep a blank one in your machine at all times, and you've got to record nonstop 24 hours a day when a tragedy like John F. Kennedy Jr. or like Princess Diana. I still have the tapes of the the day that Diana died. I've never even watched them. And, it's sort of like, I wonder what is on those tapes. There are about four or five of them, but I've never even watched them. It is so amazing. to change subjects, going back to Andrew Jackson. It's so amazing that you mentioned Andrew Jackson, because today on What Really Happened, Mike Rivero, he wrote the most incredible letter to Rachel Maddow, who is making hay, you know, on the dead bodies from Tucson. And he included a quote from Andrew Jackson, and it's one of my favorites. So I'm gonna, it's short, so I'm gonna read it. It says, "Gentlemen," oh, he's addressing the bankers. "Gentlemen, I have been watching you for a long time, and I am convinced that you have used the funds of the bank to speculate in the breadstuffs of the country, and that's happening right now. When you won, you divided the profits amongst you, and when you lost, you charged it to the bank. You tell me that if I take the deposits from the bank and annul its charter, I will ruin 10,000 families. That may be true, gentlemen, but that is your sin. Should I let you go on, you will ruin 50,000 families, and that would be my sin. You are a den of vipers and thieves. I intend to rout you out, and by the eternal God, I will rout you out." Isn't that a great speech? Why don't we have leaders now that will give speeches like that?
Because the den of vipers have taken over our government, and they install their own puppets, and they never allow someone to get into office. If that person gets in, they kill them. Now, there was one case where that person got in against their will, against their wishes. Well, that person was John F. Kennedy. Incidentally, John F. Kennedy was one of them, but I believe they probably said, well, let him in, he's one of us anyway. We didn't want him in, we wanted Nixon to be elected, but now that he's in, he's one of us, you know, so he'll take orders from us. But when they found out that there was a conscience buried deep within John F. Kennedy, that he was beginning to revolt against their murderous policies, that's when they decided to assassinate him. And the story goes, you know, it's history from there on out. But that's why we don't have any good people in office. Office is no longer a place. Political office is no longer a place for good people. Your microphone is a place for good people. Other people's microphones are places for good people. We need to just speak to one another on a human eye-to-eye level.
And everybody can have a microphone, because there are these free conference calling. And if anybody has something important that they want to say, just send out an email to your own personal emailing list, and don't tell me that you don't have thousands of people in your emailing list. Put together your own conference call and release the information to everyone. And I can hear the music, so we're just about to go to break. I'm talking with John DiNardo, and we are talking about many of the things that are going on in the news today, and we'll be right back here on the Micro Effect Radio Network. You are listening to Radio RMN, brought to you over the Micro Effect Network. And right before we went to break, I started to call it the Micro Effect Nation. And, you know, John, a number of years ago, there was somebody on the Internet that said, nations live all over the world now, and we should just form our own nation over the Internet. And I don't think that ever went very far, but it is an interesting idea, because over the Internet, we are connecting to people who are more like us, you know, like the way we think, than our neighbors, than our family, than, you know, maybe our husbands and wives. And the Internet has given us such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I sincerely hope that we continue with it. And I do have good news for everybody, because I know that there is a second Internet that has already been created. And if the government takes down one, there's another one that is going to come up that my friends tell me they can't take down. And so I pray that is true. But I hope our government isn't so stupid as to take down our Internet, because who made that wonderful quote? I can't remember who it was, but it's when you do not allow people to have quiet revolutions, you cause them to have, you know, bloody revolutions.
Wasn't that John F. Kennedy?
Was that Kennedy that said that?
I seem to remember.
if anybody knows who that is, go into the chat room.
Those who make free dissent impossible make revolution probable. Something like that.
So if anybody knows what it is, put it in the chat room. Chatroom.themicroeffect.com, and you'll make lots of new friends going into the chat room. Our chat room is just a wonderful place to visit. And I want to say happy birthday to Joe. Joe at the Microwave turned 29 again. Maybe it was 39 that he turned again for about the 20th time. That's what it is. He turned 39 for the 20th time. And I know that Joe would really appreciate happy birthday wishes, and you can send those to him through PayPal. If you've got a PayPal, just send money to joe@themicroeffect.com. Or if you don't have a PayPal account, you can still send money, but you have to go over to his page and find what he's done with the PayPal link. I was just looking for it and I can't find it. I guess you go to the Micro Effect, and it's got to be around there somewhere. Yeah, there it is. It's right on the front page of the microeffect.com, and it's on the left hand side, and it's right underneath the fake radio war stirs terror throughout the U.S. And then down at the bottom, you can put how much money you want to give, and you press the give, and it goes through PayPal. And if you don't have PayPal, you can put in your credit card on the PayPal site. So happy birthday, Joe. I can't believe he's younger than I am. Can you believe that? 39. Gee, I've turned 39 about 22, 23 years now. Anyway, I want to get back to the dead birds, and I also want to talk about the really bizarre similarities that are going on between Jack Parsons of JPL, John Jack Parsons of JPL, and John Jack Parsons Wheeler III. And I don't know if you have seen the pictures that I put up of Wheeler and Aleister Crowley. They look like clones. Even their noses appear to be broken in the same place. And I'm fairly sure if somebody who could do all of the points of the faces, I think they're the same man. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Wheeler was a clone of Aleister Crowley. And then we've got the possibility that Jack Parsons didn't die in 52 when he was supposed to have blown up his garage and, you know, vanished into thin air. What if Jack Parsons didn't die? What if he and Crowley had discovered, you know, how to teleport, or how to use a Stargate, or what if they made a Stargate? And it's like, where is the real Jack Parsons now, and who is Jack Parsons Wheeler? Interesting thoughts.
Oh, you know, just something also came to me when you were talking about John Wheeler being connected to the aerospace industry. He was just killed, right? He was just murdered, obviously murdered. Even the press says he was murdered. This man, yes. High-level man connected to the intelligence agencies and to the aerospace industry. And a few days later, the woman married to an astronaut going to the space station was almost murdered by a CIA mind control assassin.
Yes, I believe very much that man is CIA mind control. But what is even more amazing is the twin brother. They look enough alike to be the same person. The twin brother of Congresswoman Gifford's husband is the commander of the International Space Station right at this moment.
Right,
as above,
aerospace
so below.
Related you got two aerospace related murders within a week or so.
Now let's go back to the original Jack Parsons, the one that started JPL, Jet Propulsion Labs. His two best friends in the whole world were Wernher von Braun and Aleister Crowley. Doesn't that sort of give you pause to kind of shudder a bit?
Oh, yeah, just the name of Aleister Crowley, a man who was possessed by, you know, demonic forces who believed that he was, you know, was totally devoted to Satan.
And
that's scary. And then Wernher von Braun always seemed like a very, you know, benign man, but he was a former Nazi who worked on Hitler's space program. And hundreds of Hitler's scientists were brought over, in, as you know, into the United States at the close of the Second World War by what is now the Central Intelligence Agency, was then the office of Wild Bill Donovan's...
Strategic Services.
Yeah, I forget the name. Okay, was that it?
Yeah, the OSS,
Office
of
right.
Strategic Services.
And the Wild Bill Donovan and his crew brought in all these Nazis, you know, from Reinhardt, General Reinhardt, Galen's Nazi intelligence staff, as
right.
well as hundreds of scientists that had been working on some of the craft, you know, aircraft that we have today that are actually using technologies that we had once been considered futuristic, you know, flying saucers,
no.
magnetic levitation. It's really scientifically
right.
feasible, and they have developed it to a high skill. And there are bases at Edwards Air Force Base, I believe, is one, because I knew somebody who was who lived right in California City near Edwards, right outside of Edwards Air Force Base, and he told me he was working on his dirt bike one night and he saw this blue light, lighted vehicle in the sky, and it just shot over like at seemingly incredible speeds and hovered over an area near him and just hovered without moving and then shot back again away. It was nothing like any kind of aircraft that we know of in its power and its speed.
Now, I want to mention a little bit more about Jack Parsons, who started the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Wernher von Braun credited him with not only helping the U.S. win World War II, but with starting the space program. And, of course, what is the space program? It's NASA. And most of us know that there's a secret part of NASA that is controlled completely by the Nazis. And Barack Obama is trying to redirect NASA right now. In fact, is starving it for funds. And Congressman Giffords was trying to publicize the fact that NASA has no money. And so all of the, we're not going to have shuttle. We're not going to be able to go to the space station. We're going to have to pay China or Russia to go to the space station. What kind of policy is that? Is it naivete, or are they trying to shut the Nazis out of the business?
So you think that Congresswoman Gifford was really a thorn in their side?
I believe she was a thorn in the side of the people who are trying to shut down NASA.
I do not know
the purpose that they're trying to shut down NASA.
Well, first of all, it's got to be connected. I want to say two things. One is that, you know, Dave Emery, the famous conspiracy researcher, has a tremendous amount of information that he has presented on the radio over the years out of his station in California. Dave Emery once said that the national intelligence apparatus loves to act whenever they can scratch more than one itch in a single stroke. So there we may have two itches in this attempted assassination of Congresswoman Gifford. One, they might have wanted to get rid of her. Two, they want to create, you know, a dictatorship by a justification for disarming the people and creating martial law.
Well, I think that that has been... I don't think they can do that now. There have been so many people out already blowing the whistle on people like Rachel Maddow, who, you know, who blamed everything on, you know, probably the Tea Party and Sarah Palin and all of that, when in actuality, oh, yeah, and there are people who were saying that this guy was anti-Semitic. He hated Jews. Well, he was a Jew himself. So maybe that was it. He hated himself.
Yeah.
Therefore, he had to kill everybody like him, right? But it was a Jew that did this.
Right. Well, you know, all I can say is it seems to me that this maybe there's so many connections that we're not sure about yet, and that seem to be related to the aerospace industry, to what's happening in space, to what's happening to the bird deaths. I don't even want to speculate, but I have a feeling that the information, that time is going to allow us to bring the information together, because there are many people researching all of these mysterious issues that are cropping up simultaneously now. The bird deaths, the deaths of Wheeler in the aerospace industry, the attempted murder of Congresswoman Gifford, whose husband was related to the aerospace industry, the space station. What's happening with the space station? They're putting a shield around the International Space Station. Obviously, we know, you and I who know about these incoming celestial bodies and the meteor showers that are occurring and the electrical discharges in space, we know that they're going to need a shield to protect that space station with all the activity and all the fireworks that's going on in space right now. And not to get too far off, I want to get back to the main subject of all these different interrelated aerospace issues that are coming up, some of them related to murders and assassinations. But there's a mysterious cloud. I saw the photograph, and I actually saw this on the mundane Weather Channel, this report. So we know it's mainstream news. It's not speculation. The fact that there's a huge cloud, a glowing cloud of dust or something in space that's been observed by astronomers and celestial physicists.
You mean that green cloud?
Yes, right. So yeah. That's something that could be a great threat to somehow to Earth. It could have, and we know that celestial bodies are drenched in plasma, which is electrified gases that are blown out by the solar wind. So the sun itself, I should say, blown out by the sun in the form of these waves of solar winds being comprised of electrified gases, that is, ions, or molecules of gas that have an electrical charge to them. So in waves, they look like and act like, you know, they have this electrical effect on the solar system, electrostatic and electromagnetic influences, which cause disturbances. Our Earth's magnetic field is being disturbed by these solar winds. And again, try not to go too far afield here. I figured out why, and maybe other scientists have too, but I just haven't done enough reading. I haven't seen any theories to compare with this this theory that I have developed. And I've tried to just post it. I don't publish papers at all. I just try to post it to other people, scientifically interested people on the Internet. But this theory is that earthquakes on Earth are caused and they're increasing tremendously. And the reason why they're increasing is the solar wind blows out these charged particles now at a rate that's much more intense than ever before, because the sun is being electrically excited by these incoming celestial bodies surrounded. It's a horde of celestial bodies, comets, that are being dragged in gravitationally by Planet X, which is now in our solar system. Okay, so now the sun has gone ballistic, so to speak. It's gone hyperactive. And as a result, it's sneezing and sneezing, like someone with a serious case of the flu, sneezing out these solar winds in all directions in three-dimensional space. Of course, the Earth is going to get hit, because it's like a dog who just ran into a swimming pool, jumped out, and begins to shake off all the water to with all the people surrounding the pool. Everybody's going to get splashed by the spray of this this dog shaking itself off. Well, that's more or less like the sun blowing out these solar winds. The solar winds, like sprays of electrically charged particles, penetrate the Earth's magnetic field. The Earth's magnetic field can be likened to a slowly revolving, slowly rotating birdcage. Everyone can visualize the vertical, the gold vertical bars surrounding a birdcage. Visualize that birdcage slowly rotating. As it's rotating, these porcupine-like streams of electrical charges from the sun, solar winds, are penetrating this magnetic field. Now, we know that it's a common principle, a very well-known principle of physics and electricity and magnetism field, that electric charge in motion creates an electromagnetic field radiating, billowing out around the path of the electrical charge in motion, okay? Again, we can take the example of the dog. He comes out of a swimming pool and begins to dash across the lawn. That dog can be likened to a stream of electrical charge, electrically charged particles. And as the dog runs along, it's shaking the water off of itself. And that water spraying all around, billowing out or spraying coaxially, shall we say, around the dog can be likened to the electromagnetic field that is generated by electrical charges, a stream of electrical charges. Well, sun and solar winds are nothing but trillions and trillions of individual streams like porcupine needles shooting out from the sun of electrically charged particles. They impinge upon this slowly rotating birdcage known as planet Earth, whose invisible magnetic birdcage bars, the Earth's magnetic field, are being jolted and receiving interaction from these electrically charged streams of particles from the sun. And it's like sticking a chopstick into a rotating birdcage. What's going to happen is that chopstick is going to jolt and jar the rotation of the Earth, and because it's not a physical contact like a chopstick against a bar, but it's an electromagnetic interaction. It has a tremendous force, tremendous physical force on this rotating Earth, and as a consequence, the Earth becomes jolted and jerky and jarred in its rotation, and that wreaks havoc upon the floating tectonic plates of the Earth. 12 tectonic plates comprise the lithospheric crust of planet Earth. These plates are like shells, on a broken, fractured shells on a raw egg. The shells are just floating around, these crustal tectonic plates. And when the Earth is jolted in its smooth rotation and its rotation becomes jerky, then those eggshells, the crustal tectonic plates, begin to butt up against one another. And that's what we know as an earthquake. That's why we're getting earthquakes, because of the solar interaction and disturbance of the Earth's smooth rotational rate in space.
John, when are we supposed to have these huge solar storms? Isn't it sometime in this year?
2012, 2011, 2012, 2013, that time frame, because the reason is this. Jupiter is by far the largest planet in our solar system, and we have all the planets orbit around the Earth, the Sun, in a quasi-circular motion, not exactly circular, but the Sun is not the exact center of their orbital path. So consequently, when the Earth or any other planet rotates around the Sun, it reaches the point where it's nearest to the sun, which is called perihelion, para meaning closest, helion meaning sun. Earth reaches perihelion, Jupiter, likewise, in its 11-year orbit around the sun, also reaches the point of perihelion, where it's closest to the sun, and in the midpoint of that 11-year orbital cycle of Jupiter around the sun is aphelion, which is just the opposite of perihelion. It means farthest point. It's farthest approach to the sun, from the sun.
I love having a teacher on. You know, if we were talking about English, I'd be doing the same thing. It's amazing, John, how a teacher always teaches. And I love that about you. You teach us things. Are you going to be able to stay the next hour? Because we haven't even begun to talk about some things. And one of the ones I want to talk about is, I don't know if you have seen the video that a scientist has put out, and he is claiming that chemtrails are put up there to block the various... you know, like aluminum blocks one of the of the colors, barium blocks another, strontium blocks another. And what the chemtrails are for, according to this scientist, is to hide what really is going on in the sun.
Well, I'm so glad you brought up that point, because there's so many really compelling and profound issues associated with that. Let me just finish very quickly about perihelion. Now, around 2011-2012, the massive planet Jupiter reaches perihelion, its closest approach, in its 11-year orbit around the Sun. That means that Jupiter, as it gets to its closest approach to the Sun, will become to excite the Sun more and more, because distance is the most influential factor in the electrical interaction between two bodies. Distance. So the closer they get, the more they begin to exchange fire, more or less, electrical discharge in between the two. That causes the sun to zap, which means the sun is going to be zapping out solar flares of unprecedented magnitude, solar winds of unprecedented magnitude and frequency. And as a result, there's great fear from the national, expressed by the National Academy of Science. Dr. Michio Kaku quoting them, and also that's Dr. Michio Kaku, K-A-K-U, astrophysicist, quoting the National Academy of Sciences, stating that we are going to experience some devastating solar blasting from the sun around 2012 because of this solar hyperactivity. But what's going to compound and exacerbate the problem is Planet X coming in and simultaneously exciting the sun to even greater intensity level of flaring and solar coronal mass ejections that are going to be devastatingly damaging to life, all life on Earth. I'm talking about many, many millions of people will be killed unless they can dig deeply enough underground to get away from the sun. And that's what the power elite are doing. They've known about this because they've got a grip on all the science community and the scientific instruments, and they have known and therefore spent our trillions of dollars to build deep underground facilities, which we have films of, and I can show you where we can see them, where they were going to go hide out to protect themselves from the solar blasting while everyone on Earth is incinerated.
Right.
Getting back to your point, though, I'm glad that you brought that up. Let me know when you want me to talk about that.
Well, we're just about to go to break. You know, any second now we're going to hear the music.
Give me a couple seconds.
Or maybe I didn't hear the music and we're already on break.
Well, real quick, Jerry E. Smith may have been murdered as a result of this.
He was a friend of mine, so let's talk about that. We're going to break right now. We will be right back. I'm talking with John DiNardo, and we're talking about all sorts of things that are very important to human survival. And we'll be back. Welcome back. You're listening to Radio RMN. We're brought to you over the Micro Effect Radio Network. And I'm talking, my name's Raylan Allen, and I'm the publisher of RumorMillNews.com, and you can wander over there later today and probably spend the rest of your life reading the hundreds of thousands of articles that we've got archived there. My guest is John DiNardo, and we are talking about all of the very strange things that are going on, and there are so many strange things going on that, and they are all connected. And so you may think we're jumping all over the place, but we're really not. John, while you were talking about what is going to be happening to the sun, and the reason that all of the people who, you know, all the power elite are digging below Earth is you've got to be down, what, about a mile before you can feel relatively safe, something like that.
Yeah, but, and they're much deeper than that.
Yeah. When I was over in Austria, I was speaking with some of the Austrian ministers, and this was back in 94, but they had told me that they have a bed and food for every Austrian. So for 8 million Austrians. I don't think they've got beds for the illegal aliens that are in Austria, but for every Austrian, they have bed and food to last somewhere between 7 and 10 years. I can't remember what they said. But in addition to that, they have created a library that is so hardened that the only thing that could destroy it is if the Earth was destroyed, and then the library would be out there floating in space like a cylinder. I was going to, we were talking about the sun, and we were talking about this video, and it sounds like you have seen the video too, where the scientist is trying to prove that chemtrails are to block out what is going on with the sun so that ordinary folk who could see it with their naked eye don't get to see it. Have you heard? Have you heard that theory?
I did not see that video. What is it? What's the name of it? Do you know? Chemtrails.
You know,
what are they spraying?
No. The scientist is narrating it, and you can just see his screen where he is showing what colors actually, you know, what colors of the spectrum that aluminum blocks out, that strontium blocks out, and that barium blocks out, and
it
is. And you're wanting me to find it. It'll take me a while because it's on Rumor Mill. And
maybe
so,
listeners can find it on YouTube.
Yes, but I don't know what the name of it is.
Well,
you could probably put
words.
Something like chemtrails blocking sun activity or something like that, and you might be able to find it because it is a YouTube video. But the other thing that is coming out right now, there was this photograph taken I don't know how recently, but it's just been posted on the internet, of the sun, and of course the sun has one of these rings around it, like it gets every now and then, but right in the ring is one of these shapes that we call sun cruisers. Now, sun cruisers have been seen around the sun for almost 10 years now. Kent Stedman of Cyberspace Orbit was the first one to find a sun cruiser and to talk about it.
How and do you what spell that name? S-T-E-D-M-A-N?
I think it's S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N. Cyberspace Orbit is still up there. So just go up to Cyberspace Orbit, C-Y-B-E-R spaceorbit.com. Kent died of a massive heart attack a few years ago, and boy, was he! Did we lose a friend?
Well, was he revealing any information that might be considered secret?
Say it again.
Was Kent revealing information prior to his death that might be considered by the elite?
Well, Kent was a former professor, college professor, and it's my belief that even though he wasn't privy to any inside information, he had the kind of brain that was smart enough to read articles and to gather everything together and then come up with a good reason for things to have happened. And I just have the feeling that he was... Yeah, I don't think that it was natural. His heart attack was almost the identical kind of heart attack that Serge Monast had. You know, just massive, you know, explosion in the heart. And what is most amazing is both of them were in the snow at the time of their heart attacks.
Mm.
And it's almost like they did that to Kent, just to send a message to everyone that, yeah, we did it, and we did it just like we killed Serge Monast. And for those who don't know who Serge Monast was, he was an investigator who was the first to discover Project Bluebeam. which again is a NASA project. And if people don't know Project Bluebeam, that's NASA's project. That's NASA's project to turn the sky into a giant projection screen, and we're either going to have an alien attack coming over this giant projection screen, or we're going to have Mother Mary, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, all the ascended masters and angels and archangels and everybody up in the sky, each one of them speaking to us in our own language. And that's what NASA has the ability to do. And
right.
It is called Project Bluebeam.
Right, and we could express it and make it presented credibly so that the audience will realize that this is not our speculation, that all of these seemingly supernatural events are going to be concocted by the government. It's not our speculation. It is theirs. It is their own documents that show that they are creating this Project Bluebeam. And so it's not us. It's not us that's saying it. It's they themselves, the power elite. You see, they're trying to, again, a lot of this becomes spiritual when you realize that there is a God that created all of us, and we look at it sort of bury that knowledge, our conscious recognition of the fact that there is a God who loves us and created us. But then the importance of it comes out when we see that there's also an evil force that is always at odds with God. And that evil force is now rising to challenge the leadership of all of humanity spiritually, the soul, that is the soul of all people. And this is why we have the culmination, the fruition of this Project Bluebeam, which sounds so ridiculous, science fiction related, but in fact, you're going to see it materialize. But like I say to people, whenever something amazing is presented to them, I say, please, do not believe what I'm going to tell you. In fact, I want you to disbelieve it, okay? I want you to look at it with suspicion. All that I plead with you is that you remember, burn it into your memory, what I told you, okay? And even if you disbelieve it, just impress it into your memory, because when you see it unfold, like I told my friend back in 2002 about Planet X, I said, don't believe it, just impress it into your memory, because when you see it unfold, then you'll know. You'll remember what you were told, and you'll know how to protect yourself. So that's what I say regarding Project Bluebeam. You'll know how to protect yourself when you impress this story into your mind. They're going to create some kind of a messiah. Now, this messiah is going to liberate us. Remember, fear is the emotion that they use to keep the world in domination. Fear. If they can keep us in fear and then bring a messiah to comfort us, everyone will clamor for that messiah. You see, they are now keeping us in line with force, you know, the threat of a gun, the threat of prison,
absolutely,
the threat of death. However, they cannot do that to your spirit, to your soul. In order for them to capture your soul, they have to capture your heart, your mind, your belief, your love, your allegiance. That's why they're creating this messiah in space. Or intending to. Again, don't believe me, but just remember what I'm saying. So when you see it unfold, you know how to protect yourself. They're creating this messiah in space that's going to protect us from all the great fears that they are bringing upon us, and in fact, the fears that God himself is bringing upon us with these earth disasters that are far beyond the powers of man to create these earthquakes. Yeah, they create earthquakes, but not like you're going to see. They can create tidal waves, but not like you're going to see. All of these fearsome geological and meteorological events that are now occurring and ramping up are being created by God, because it's a battle between the forces of God, who controls our heartbeat and our spirit every second, and the forces of evil, which are under the control of this spirit. There's this evil spirits. Believe it or not, just as the American Indians told us, and they're not even Christians, the American Indians told us that there are evil spirits that they know exist, because the American Indians are spiritual people, and they can recognize these spiritual presence much better than modern man in his concrete cities can recognize. Okay, so that's what the false messiah will be created in the skies, and that's the Project Bluebeam that's about to occur. I read that, again, keep this in mind, around July of this year, July of 2011, they intend to have some kind of a false flag Project Bluebeam operation, which will be something appear. We'll see something appear in the sky, and there'll be some horrific event associated with it. And somebody blew the whistle on it. I forgot who it was that blew the whistle on it. And I'm not sure what happened to that person, but that's about all I can tell you, you know, regarding Project Bluebeam.
Well, I think I could tell you the whole book. Serge sent it to me shortly before he died. And, in fact, one of his publisher is going to be on the radio here with me pretty soon. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I'm sure that we'll touch on Project Bluebeam. Serge was actually the first person to alert people to all of the FEMA camps that were going up. And one of the things that I don't think he put in his book, but he told me, is a lot of these FEMA holding camps look like parking lots. And so if you see parking lots that have, you know, gigantic wrought iron doors and things like that, what those doors are for, they look like they're artwork, but they're not. They throw the people in, and these things that never are closed before ever suddenly close down on you, and you cannot get out, you know, unless you jump out and kill yourself. What was I going to? I was going to say something else about Serge and his work. No, I wasn't. I was going to go back that we brought up Serge because I was talking about Kent Stedman and the fact that they died in similar manners. But this Sun Cruiser that Kent first found a picture of in the pictures that you know, NASA takes of the sun, he saw this Sun Cruiser. And what the Sun Cruiser is, it's a circle with wings on it. And you can go back through history, you know, from the Egyptians all the way to the Nazis, to our pilots, even to some of the symbols in Barack Obama's presidential race. We've got this Sun Cruiser. Look at the Chrysler logo, and you'll see the Sun Cruiser right there in the Chrysler logo.
Oh.
What is that Sun Cruiser?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, you know, it's. I've seen pictures of these Sun Cruisers, and they're obviously natural phenomena. And what happens is this. This was, incidentally, what I'm about to tell you has been witnessed and recorded by ancient peoples who survived the great catastrophes of over the millennia, over thousands of years ago. They recorded the catastrophes that occurred on planet Earth. And in these recordings, which these are all, well, I won't go into detail, that these were all caused by Planet X's recurring entry into our solar system. The Egyptians, for example, the ancient Egyptians who survived the last Earth cataclysm 36 and a half centuries ago. Remember that time frame, 36
yeah,
and a
exactly.
half centuries ago. They wrote about seeing this comet in the sky. This comet was engulfed in a glowing red fluid, more or less, which was plasma. Engulfed in plasma, and it was swirling out, spewing out wings, like wings of a bird, in both directions, both sides of it. So it looked what they called the winged globe. And I have the late Zechariah Sitchin's book, The 12th Planet, right here on my bookshelf. And in that bookshelf, he talks about the winged globe. Oh, let me just see if I can grab it to show you, because these are what the Sun Cruisers probably are right now. Hold on a second.
And while he's going to get the book... in our, John, I was just going to say that in our chat room, someone found this video that I am talking about, and I will send it over to you
terrific.
In an email so that you can see what it is.
Oh, why don't you post the link to your website so everybody else can go there, too?
That's an excellent idea. I'll put it up on the website. But, you know, I don't believe that this is the one that I watched, but it appears to be one that is actually better than the one that I watched. So this is pretty neat. I found another one.
Terrific.
I'll
try
to find the
original
one that I watched.
Put them up on the website. I'd be happy to see them because once you go to YouTube, they have links to similar other viewings, too, as you probably know. So they'll be linking to a lot of related pictures. Okay. You know, it's a good thing I remembered this page in Zechariah's Sitchin, S-I-T-C-H-I-N, his landmark book, The 12th Planet, on page... Good thing I remembered it was around page 240. I'm going to read to you. Wow. This is the ancient text. This is about a page or so. I hope you can bear with me. Following the teachings of their Sumerian forefathers, Sumerians were the ancient people who lived in what is now modern-day Iraq. Thousands of years ago, following the teachings of their Sumerian forefather, Abraham of Ur, that's the famous Abraham of the God of Israel, the father of Israel, the ancient Hebrews also associated their supreme deity with the supreme planet, that is, the God that we know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Like the Mesopotamian texts, many books of the Old Testament describe the Lord as having his abode in the heights of heaven, where he beheld the foremost planets as they were arisen, a celestial Lord who, unseen in the heavens, moves about in a circle. The book of Job, having described the celestial collision, contains these significant verses telling us where the lordly planet had gone. Quote, upon the deep, he marked out an orbit where light and darkness merge is his farthest limit. End of quote. No less explicitly, the Psalms in the Bible, the Psalms outline the planet's majestic course. Quote, the heavens bespeak the glory of the Lord. Incidentally, I think that's Psalm 19. The heavens bespeak the glory of the Lord. The hammered bracelet proclaims his handiwork. He comes forth as a groom from the canopy. Like an athlete, he rejoices to run the course. That's the sun itself. From the end of heavens, he emanates, and his circuit is to their end. So it's a circular motion. Now that's the end of that quote. But Sitchin sort of butchered that from the Bible, but it's basically correct. Recognized as a great traveler in the heavens, soaring to immense heights at its apogee, that means its furthest distance from Earth, and then coming down, bowing unto the heaven at its perigee, its closest approach to Earth, this planet was depicted as a winged globe. When it gets close, it glows and it spreads, this is my commentary, it spreads out its plasma wings. Continuing with Sitchin's text from page 240, wherever archaeologists uncovered the remains of Near Eastern peoples, the symbol of the winged globe was conspicuous, dominating temples and palaces carved on rocks, etched on cylinder seals, painted on walls. This winged globe, it accompanied kings and priests, stood above their thrones. This winged globe hovered above them in battle scenes. It was etched into their chariots. Again, speaking of the winged globe that they had seen in the sky. Clay, metal, stone, and wood objects were adorned with the symbol of the winged globe. The rulers of Sumer and Akkad, Babylon and Assyria, Elam and Urartu, Mahdi and Nuzi, etc., all these Canaan, all revered the symbol of the winged globe. Hittite kings, Egyptian pharaohs, Persian shahs, all proclaimed the symbol and what it stood for, supreme. It remained so for millennia. Central to the religious beliefs and astronomy of the ancient world, was the conviction that the 12th planet, the planet of the gods, remained within the solar system, and that its remained within our solar system, and that its grand orbit returned it periodically to Earth's vicinity. The pictographic sign for the 12th planet, the planet of the crossing, was a cross. This cuneiform sign, which also meant Anu and divine, evolved into Semitic languages to the letter Tav, or Tau, which means the sign. And here he shows a picture of the cross. So the sign of the cross was the sign that this planet made. Now, how did it do it scientifically? How did it spread out these wings? It's a glowing red comet that comes over the Earth. It picks up plasma from the sun. It begins to glow because now it's absorbing all the plasma that has previously streaked behind it as the tail of a comet. Now the tail becomes contracted and engulfs around the sun, around the comet itself, and the comet begins to glow like a huge red ball in the sky. It appears over in the skies over planet Earth, and the ancient people saw it. And as it got closer and closer to us and to the sun, it would blow out these wings, spread out these plasma red wings, and the people looked at it in the sky as the winged globe. This is not a fantasy or speculation. You see this winged globe, just like Zechariah just says, all over the place, in ancient records, in ancient artifacts. And he's got pictures of it. Each one of them is pretty good detail drawings of the winged globe as depicted by various civilizations. Each picture is distinct in its own detail. One from the Mayan, the Mesoamerican, Central American peoples, their winged globe, and the Egyptians' winged globe, but they all pretty much show a winged globe. And that's the one you see on the Chrysler Corporation logo.
And on the Rosicrucians. But you also see it on a lot of pilots, Navy
pilots. U.S. Air Force insignia is a winged globe.
Is a winged globe,
and,
okay.
And in the back of the Chrysler cars, you'll see, if you're tailgating a Chrysler car, you'll see that winged globe also.
Right, right. And there was a DVD that was put out during Obama's race, and it said, Buy American, Vote Obama, and there's the winged globe right in the center of that.
Wow. It's a worship. It's a sign of worship, actually, because they looked at this thing as akin to a god, because what would happen is whenever it came over in the skies, the ancient peoples did not connect this winged globe. They didn't know that there was a scientific and physical connection between the passing of this winged globe and the devastation that was occurring on Earth, the earthquakes, the tsunamis that were occurring, the huge, tremendous windstorms, and all the great destruction that virtually wiped out the entire human race on planet Earth.
And look at what is happening to Australia right now. Never in the history.
Australia is the beginning of it, yes. The southern hemisphere is getting whacked.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
We've seen it in Europe. The floods are just epic, historical. I mean, they're telling us on the Weather Channel that this flood in Australia has not been seen in over, this magnitude of flooding has not been seen in over 100 years in Australia, and I'm sure it's even more than 100 years. I think it goes beyond any recorded history, so they're really downplaying the severity of this. These have never, this magnitude of flooding and other kinds of storms have never been seen on planet Earth during modern recorded history. And it's due to the incursion of this planet. Now, I can tell you, I could give you solid scientific meteorological evidence. I've become sort of like a self-made meteorologist myself just by watching the Weather Channel every day and videotaping severe weather clips ever since 2004. And I've got, about 50 six-hour videotapes of nothing but severe weather reports from the Weather Channel. And I can tell you what I've seen. I'm going to summarize what I've been seeing. I've been seeing a jet stream from 2004 to 2009 that looks like a W, okay? It looks like a scripted W or a wave. The peak of these W is generally it was around from 2004 to 2009, was around as high a latitude as the U.S.-Canadian border. The trough, the lowest point of this W, was at a latitude around Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, etc. And this W would roll across, would come from the Pacific from west to east, and just roll from west to east across the United States over a period of several days. Anybody, any part of the country, unfortunate to be enough to be caught in that leading edge of the W, that is the center vertex of the W, would get whacked with tornadoes, huge hailstorms, sometimes numerous times hailstones the size of softballs, which I've got all documented on the Weather Channel videotapes, the flooding and windstorms, because at the leading edge of that W, what you have is a cold air. Remember, the cold air is coming down in the trough of the W, being pulled down from Canada, and it is colliding with warm air that is sucked up, warm, moist air sucked up into the vertex of the W from the Gulf of Mexico. So you got warm, moist air being sucked up, clashing at a margin, at a very narrow border, with cold air from Canada. And the result is explosive.
Amazing. And there's the music. We've got to go to break. Dogstar in Australia, check your email if you're listening. And we'll be right back here on Video RMM of the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. And again, happy birthday, Joe. And everybody go to PayPal and send Joe a happy birthday present at joe@themicroeffect.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back. You're listening to Radio RMN. This is Raylan, and I'm talking with John DiNardo, one of my favorite guests, because we just sort of spark ideas in each other when we're talking. John, why do you believe that Chrysler and maybe Barack Obama and lots of other corporations have incorporated this winged disc in their logos?
Well, it's really, I haven't really thought about it too much. It's something that they that has been worshipped. It is a sign that has been worshipped by peoples throughout history. See, when people are in fear, of in terror, of due to some tremendous superhuman force like meteor showers, earthquakes, comets streaking across the sky, causing destruction, they know that there's no man, no power on humankind that can protect them. So they begin to worship, out of fear, that particular symbol of terror that comes from the sky, in the hope that by worshiping it, they can appease it. We've all seen that phenomenon, that human tendency in uncivilized peoples throughout the world, where they try to appease the gods out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably why they do this. You see, they worship Satan. Satan they know to be a real spiritual power, a real being. Now, it doesn't matter that many people don't believe that Satan exists. They believe Satan is a mythical figure. That's not the issue. The issue is they, the power elite, the most powerful people in the world, know of Satan and indeed worship him. I'm talking about the people who put Obama in his position, people that are far more powerful than Obama, who control the world. They literally worship this powerful being known as Satan. But of course, they will never call him Satan, because Satan is a denigrating term. The word Satan is a Hebrew word for adversary, the adversary of God. They prefer to call him Lucifer, meaning the light bearer, the one who has the true light of truth, which is, of course, a lie. That's true.
Now that, and what,
his head.
Now, what you're bringing up right now goes back to what we started talking about when we were talking about the man that Wernher von Braun credits with starting the space program here in the U.S., John Jack Parsons. Jack Parsons and his mentor, Aleister Crowley, both worshipped Satan, or Lucifer, as you say. And they didn't even really give a name to him in many, many instances. Jack Parsons' entire life was dedicated to destroying Christianity. And so, yeah.
Well, that's Satan's dedication. So Jack Parsons was an implement, a quisling, or I should say a servant of Satan. Because his purpose was to destroy Christianity. That gives you some clue as to the real God of this world, whom Satan hates. When Satan tries to destroy his forces, his powers on earth, his earthly powers, try to destroy Christianity, then you know, you have a clear picture as to who the real God is that Satan is conflicting with and has been conflicting with throughout history. That's Christianity.
Yeah, isn't that just amazing?
Satan doesn't hate Buddha. Satan, they're just let Buddha, Buddhism flourish. But Christianity has always been the target of these powerful satanic rulers of nations. The Illuminati.
All we have to do is look at Hitler. We look at Stalin.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler created his own religion that was almost like a pagan religion.
The Thule Society. Thule Society was an off-branch of the Freemasons, and it was a sister society of the Skull and Bones. George Herbert Walker Bush, John Kerry, George W. Bush, etc., Prescott Bush, Skull and Bones, their sister societies of Hitler's society.
I'm making a joke when I say this, but to their credit, they threw out Aleister Crowley. And you have to ask yourself, why did they throw him out? I mean, he was perfect for them.
Hmm.
And of course, there are people who believe that Jack Parsons faked his own death. And the reason he faked his own death is, he probably saw what they did to Nikola Tesla and killed him and realized that the power elite could not control him, therefore they had to kill him. And so it is very possible.
Do you think that John Wheeler might be Jack Parsons or the son of Jack Parsons?
John, I don't know. I don't know. It's possible. They've been cloning people. They've been cloning people since the 20s. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Jack Parsons held on to a bit of Aleister Crowley's DNA, because Crowley died in 47 or 48. Parsons died in 52.
Parsons born. You told me that Parsons was born a few years before Aleister Crowley died. So Aleister Crowley, it was possible that he could have fathered Jack Parsons.
Yes, and it's possible that this could have been done without even his mother knowing that she was not carrying her husband's child. If you look at pictures of her husband, John Parsons Wheeler Jr., and there was a John Parsons Wheeler Sr., I haven't found a picture of him, but John Parsons Wheeler III looks nothing like his father. Nothing like his father. And what I was going to say is they could have put the mother in the hospital for some strange reason. Remember, she's Army, and they could have said, it's time for you to go in and get your pap smear or whatever. And in those days, sometimes they stayed overnight in the hospital for those things. And she could have been artificially inseminated and not even know it. Or more than likely, her husband knew it and agreed to it.
Right. Well, so now we've got these the attempted murder of Congresswoman Gifford and her relation to an astronaut. Correct.
Two astronauts. Two Navy test pilots.
And then we have John Wheeler, whose murder, which has been publicized in the mainstream media as a murder, died just a short time before this attempted assassination to the space-related Congresswoman. And Wheeler himself was an aerospace tycoon.
Well, not tycoon, but he was a consultant
into the aerospace industry, related to the military-industrial complex, right?
I had not read that he actually owned anything.
Okay.
But do you?
Yeah, he was a powerful man. So here we have aerospace connections with two murders occurring very close to one another. Chronologically, one of them was an attempted murder. Congresswoman Gifford remains alive, fortunately. And it's getting kind of, there's a lot of facts that we cannot, we just can't put them together yet. But we know that things are going to come together. The truth will eventually emerge because there's so many researchers out there, thanks to the Internet. Thousands of people doing independent research. Nobody has to be a lauded, accepted, credentialed reporter anymore like in the old days. You couldn't put a story out unless you worked for a newspaper. Today, everybody can be a reporter, and that's just marvelous. So these clues, a tangled web of mystery, is going to come together in a short time, I'm sure. And we're beginning to see the connections, but also connect that to what's happening with the so-called Project Bluebeam, where they're going to project a messiah in the heavens, a great threat from outer space, but a messiah to come to protect us. They always have to create fear so that they can alleviate our fear by forcing us, tricking us into clamoring for their protection from their Messiah, who's going to be the one world ruler. That's what their stated plan is. Now we see the movie, the television series, The Event, which they like to give us clues. They enjoy giving us clues as to what their plots are. And if you follow this series, The Event, I've missed the last several episodes, but you can go to MSNBC online and watch these episodes of The Event and try to put it together. Call into Ray Ellen and tell her what you're gleaning, the kind of conclusions you're gleaning from this event series, because we need the input from many intelligent, astute, and interested listeners. But The Event started out with President Obama, a man who was portrayed. He was an African-American African-American type president, who clearly was supposed to represent President Obama.
Exactly.
And he was a good guy, a friendly guy, a liberal guy who found out about the secret aliens, these aliens who had been captured at Roswell way back in the 50s, which is actually a true story. And they had been kept imprisoned in Alaska, in Sri Lanka, I believe, base, U.S. military base in Alaska. They've been kept imprisoned. These aliens, they look just like human beings. They look identical to human beings. The only difference is that their DNA is different, and they have tremendous powers greater than human beings. But they're also loving. You know, they can be loving, and the gist of this whole five or six episodes that I saw is that if you love them, they'll love you, and they will take care of you if you kneel to them and bow to them and embrace them as your God. But if you try to rebel against them, they will destroy you. You have no power against them. You've heard the old saying, don't resist. Resistance is futile.
That's right.
Surrender
that's right.
to us. Well, that's the whole theme of this series, The Event, because this tells me that Project Bluebeam is a real plot that is being presented to us, and we're being given clues in the series, The Event. So I hope that people will watch it and write in or call in with their opinions or their analysis of this, because they always give us clues. And there's also another one called V. That may be something different, I don't know. It may not be related to aliens, but certainly that's an episodic series called V, is going to be revealing to us some of the machinations that they have in the works for humanity over the coming months. Things are coming to fruition very rapidly. They know. The Bible tells us, and God spoke to John, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke to John the Apostle 2,000 years ago in a vision and told him that at the end of time, which is what we're approaching now, evidently, things will race toward a conclusion. Events will happen, and there will be one of the passages in Revelation chapter 12 goes like this: "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, for he knows that he has but a short time." So this world has a short time to go, and events are going to race amazingly, stunningly fast. In terms of meteorological destruction events, and also takeover of these by the power elite.
The other thing that I think these films are designed to do, like V, and there's the old V and there's the new V, and there are people that really are recommending that you go to Hulu.com or wherever you can find them and watch the old V and the new V, because we really are being told a lot about what is, getting ready to happen. But I think a lot of it is just to scare us into immobility. They want to immobilize us with fear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so clear. Even the naive, disinterested, uninterested populace of the United States and the world can see that they have a drumbeat of fear that's been pounding upon us through the media and through their political machinations over the years. Everyone can see it. Look at all these assassinations, the shootings. There are countless shootings. Every one of them can be traced to U.S. government, CIA, black operations. The bombings of the Oklahoma City building, the Murrah building, the attack on the World Trade Center, all of them can be traced to the power elite. The fear is the weapon that they're using to bring us into submission and enslavement. Right now we're at a point where they're ready to go underground, and somebody asked me a question, and they said, why would the elite even care about bringing us into submission when they're going underground soon to escape the imminent solar scorching? And why don't they just let us die from the solar scorching and the earthquakes and the tsunamis and not worry about trying to slaughter us? We know they're going to try to slaughter us with diseases. That's already been prophesied by God in the Bible, that disease will wipe out, a major portion of the population of the world. And we see the evidence of the diseases that are being created at Fort Detrick and Plum Island, and have been released in the form of vaccines. And it's quite clear. Bill Gates even stated it. We have Bill Gates on stage saying that with good vaccinations, we'll be able to reduce the population. We have his words in his face right on stage stating that. And, of course, we've got all the documentation, thanks to Dr. Stan Monteith and others, absolutely proving in their own documents that this is their plan to wipe us out with plague and diseases. So why would they do it? I don't know. Why would they try to wipe us out when they could just let Planet X and its effects wipe us out? I don't know. Except that it's got to be spiritual. You see, Satan is behind the minds of these men. His minds of these men who worship Satan, such as Aleister Crowley, are totally controlled by a spiritual power. Satan and their billions of fallen angels who rebelled against God, according to the scriptures, the ancient scriptures, one-third of all the created messengers of God, the angels, one-third rebelled and went with Satan, the adversary. The word Satan in Hebrew means adversary of God.
Right.
And they are controlling the minds, and that's why you see somewhat an irrational twist to the motive and the operations of these power elite, because Satan is really guiding them, and they don't know it. They don't realize it. But they know they worship God, or Satan, However, they think they have autonomy over their own minds. But they don't. In fact, none of us do, Ray Ellen, none of us. You see, we do have, God gives us autonomy. And, you know, I don't want to get into, I do want to get into spiritual matters because it's true and it's very important that people begin to think about it. Again, don't believe me. Don't believe what I'm saying. In fact, distrust what I'm saying. Just remember what I'm saying. There was a man named Howard Pittman. You should have Howard Pittman on your program sometime, Ray Ellen.
I don't even know him. That's a new name for me.
Pittman. I'll try to give you his phone number. He died and for a period of time and then came back to life again. You know, this happened to a number of people. There's a book titled To Hell and Back. It's a chronology, a compilation of various people's stories, people who had died for a few minutes in hospitals, etc., and came back to life again. They recounted what they experienced during that period of death. He was taken by angels to see the real demons that infest this world. You see, if you follow David Icke and others, who's not even a Christian, but his beliefs, some of his understandings, parallel Christian doctrine, that is, these beings, they really exist right now. They're in my room right now, these fallen angels, these demonic spirits, and their purpose is not to, you know, make me evil or not to scare me. They can, you know, affect you in the very nicest way so that you don't even know they're there. Their purpose is to be unseen and unnoticed, but their only goal is to keep you from communing with God, the spirit who controls your heartbeat every second, the spirit who keeps your body going, who gives you all these wonderful things in life, you know, the sky, the air, the trees, a thousand different delicious, wonderful fruits, each one tasting different, each one having different nutritional value, all together giving you full nutrition that your body needs, and at the same time giving you the pleasure of eating strawberries, oranges, apples, bananas, pears, pineapples, papaya, mangoes, etc., on and on, cherries, blueberries. All of these are delicious and nutritious. This is from a God that loves us. We know from the gifts that he puts on our spiritual doorstep, the doorstep of our world every day, that he's there and he loves us. Well, our communing with that God is being blocked by these demonic spirits. But when you get out into the wilderness, like the American Indians or the natives of the jungles of South America, they are so close to God's creation that they can feel his spirit. And they had commune with him, even though they don't know the name of Jesus or the God, which it means God is our Savior. They don't know that God, their Savior, has that name. But they know he's there, and they pray to him because they're being close to the earth. They are more spiritually oriented, more spiritually discerning than we are who live in a concrete and glass world.
Wow. Hey, John, I just wanted to tell you that our chat room wanted me to relay a message to you that they really appreciate you giving us your time like this because they love listening to you. And I do, too.
Well, thank you.
By the way,
I love helping people.
We went back. We were talking about V. And one of the guys in the chat room said that the new V has brought back the original Diana. And I think the original Diana is Anna's mother. Have you watched that yet?
No, tell me about it.
Well, one of the very last scenes of the last V, which was Monday, they have Anna going down into the bowels, almost looking like she is going down into hell itself, but into the bowels of the ship that she is on. And this other woman comes out, and it's her mother. One of our Lucas in the chat room says that that's the original Diana. And I would have to actually watch the original series to see if that's true, but it may very well be true. But one of our rumor mill news agents, Never Surrender, is telling people that they really need to think about everything that is going on in the world right at the moment, the dead birds, the dead fish, the dead crabs, the dead whatever else is dying. And, you know, John Parsons Wheeler and Congresswoman Giffords. By the way, Congresswoman Giffords' name is Gabrielle, meaning from the Archangel Gabriel, and you are going to be amazed at what I'm going to tell you about in just a minute, John. There's a military organization that I'm going to tell you about, which is Archangel Gabriel. We'll be right back here on Radio RMN on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network, and we'll be back. And welcome back. You're listening to Radio RMN on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. And I have just posted the link to this order of the Archangel Gabriel on Rumor Mill. And so if anyone wants to go over, it's right in the main page. I didn't even put anything in the title except the URL itself. And so you can, and John, I sent it to you. Okay, I just want to read a little tiny bit. It's sort of like, you're not going to believe what I'm just about to read. Gabriel means archangel associated with carrying messages from God. Congresswoman Giffords' name is Gabriel Giffords. Okay, Giffords means brave giver. And so she is a representative of the archangel, and she is the brave giver or bringer of the messages from God. Okay, now there is this militarystrategist.org, and they call themselves the Order of the Archangel. And the archangel that they are the order of is Saint Gabriel, the messenger of God. And this is what they write on their page. Listen to this. The Archangel Gabriel is the exalted messenger of God, whose name means the strength of God. Gabriel's deeds are recorded in both Christian and Jewish scriptures, including his aid to the prophet Daniel in the interpretation of Daniel's dream visions. In Judeo-Christian tradition, Gabriel is one of the three archangels mentioned in Scripture and is variously identified as the archangel of Annunciation, Resurrection, Mercy, Revelation, and Death. And we've got Doug in Arkansas on the line. Doug, give me a minute to just finish this. Gabriel is also the angel of the power of God, and so in Jewish beliefs, Gabriel is regarded as the angel of judgment. Christians and Muslims alike believe in him and have foretold believe him to have foretold the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus to Zechariah and the Virgin Mary. Muslims further believe that he was the medium through which God revealed the Quran to Muhammad over a period of 23 years and also accompanied the prophet on his night journey. Anyway, there's lots more, but the Order of the Archangel. In 2007, the United States Military Strategists Association initiated an awards program to honor the very best of America's strategists and adopted Saint Gabriel, the Archangel, for this role, for this award, based on Gabriel's role in Revelation and Annunciation. The Order of the Archangel in this military strategist's organization is competitively awarded to those individuals who have served with distinction in military strategic capacities or who, either through military or non-military efforts, have advanced the goals of the association and made significant contributions to the study, teaching, or practice of the strategy. Is there any doubt in your mind that Gabrielle Giffords, Congresswoman Giffords, was not chosen to send some kind of extraordinary message to a group of people? Was it being sent to the military strategists, or were the military strategists sending a message to somebody else?
That's a really important question to ponder. I have no idea. It's just a big mystery right now.
You are absolutely right.
I mean, I would not even venture to speculate at this point, but there's certainly a lot of fertile ground for a new understanding of relationships here, of plans that are major plans that are undergoing development right now by the power elite, and also by God. We have spiritual battle going on through man, who is visible on Earth, but also through the greater powers that are directing man, that is God and his fallen angels. So we don't know the connection, how just overwhelming they may be as they develop.
Absolutely.
And allow the intelligent minds who are reporters, self-made reporters on the internet and around us, information, and allow it to congeal.
Yeah. We've got Doug in Arkansas, and let's invite Doug on and find out what he has to say. Welcome, Doug.
Hi, thank you for talking about following a hard act. I missed a few, probably the last 15 minutes of the last hour, but I've been taking notes and everything. But I was hearing the last few minutes here when I hopped on, and I think we're talking about Gabriel here, right? And
right.
So this is an archangel or a powerful being that most people have. They've accepted as a possible being, especially Bible believers. And you said his name was the strength of God. And then you talked about he could do this and this and this and this and this. And see, I think what this whole warfare thing is all about is, of course, they want, like, if they collapse the system, people will have nothing, or if a celestial body comes in. The thing about that is that they fear, and they've been preparing for it, because I agree with you. I think something like that has already entered here and is affecting the earth. But they know that if people begin to think that way, then they become non-important, because they know that government can't fix this problem. And I know you mentioned that.
Yes. They're afraid that people will find out about the devastation coming from the skies that are man has no control over. And all these centuries, powers ruling governments have maintained their power by pretending to be the supreme power over nations with military might, and that's how they keep us paying taxes and keep us subservient with the threat of force. But when there's a much more powerful force appears and drives that the rulers ensconced at the seat of power, drives them underground, then the people begin to see how puny and cowardly the ruling elite really are. And therefore, the people lose their fear and lose their obedience to this power elite.
And I know that's
what they fear.
Yeah, and I know that what you're about and Raylan's about, and I am too, and so many others, there are a lot of us, is about, well, we don't have to wait. Everybody should be and change your world.
Oh, yes, it's happened before in history. I mean, look at the American Revolution. There's an example of the power of the human spirit. However, what happens is the human spirit itself becomes evil, as evil as the powers that rule them, the powers that they overthrew in the past. The people become just as evil. It's because we lose our communion with God. No matter how talented or intelligent we are, it's the humility of being, knowing that God is our love, the one we embrace. He's a spirit that we cannot see, but he gives me breath every morning when I wake up. Last night I went to sleep and my heart beat about 30,000 times. But it seemed to me like I just went to dozed off for a few seconds and just woke up. It was 8 hours that passed and my heart beat 30,000 times because God kept it beating. It doesn't beat for nothing. It's not an autonomous machine. So there is a God who loves us, and he keeps 6.5 billion hearts beating every single second, never misses a beat, never loses distracting from his infinite love for us, not even for 1 second. So as long as we recognize that throughout our day and just trust that he's going to guide our minds and guide our daily lives, that seems like a risky thing to do, is just trust God to guide you.
If you do that,
he does miraculous work through
you. And I have to tell you, no one could say it better than you did. What this is really all about is people realizing that your very body runs. It's been programmed. Well, what do you think? Did the government program it? or is it random chance? Why do people resist wanting to believe that there's a creator?
I'll tell you why.
Most people, because most people like being able to run their own lives, and that's fine. There's a lot of freedom given in life, but you'll realize that there is a bigger being, and I think we've been made to search him out so that he can actually protect us against these evil forces and amazing things going on.
The demonic spirits, again, Howard Pittman, I would love to hear him on the radio sometime. Maybe Ray Ellen can get him on. But Howard Pittman died for so many minutes, and he was in the hospital, and during that period he was dead, before he was revived, he was taken by angels to show him through the world, through the hospital, and at the outside streets of the city where the hospital was located, all the demonic spirits that exist. And David Icke talks about this and others. Again, he's not a Christian, but they tell you that there's another dimension where these spirits exist, and they can see us right here. They're here right now. They can see us, but we cannot see them. Their purpose is to influence our minds and our thoughts. You'll see signs of that, of that unseen, invisible influence when you try to pray to God, try to just sit quietly and just not even talk to God, but just feel God's presence for a few minutes. Just like try to imagine his presence with you right now, right this minute, in fact. It's difficult to do because the mind gets distracted. And the reason we get distracted is because these demonic spirits, their primary purpose is to keep us from communing with God. That's why man, despite all the evidence, the wealth of evidence that there is a God, does not see God, because there are demonic spirits that interfere with that awareness.
I've got a question for you that comes from one of our readers, and he says, who are we supposed to believe? Has your guest looked into this? I think you know Jonathan Gray, David Icke, and Michael Hauser. They all state Sitchin is a fraud and has purposely misled us regarding the Sumerian text. What do you think about that? I've heard that.
Oh, I think Sitchin has made some errors, definitely, and he certainly may be a fraud. I mean, he may, I don't know, he's dead now. There is some, in his book, The 12th Planet is fraught with lots of errors. I mean, irritated whenever I try to read it because there's so much erroneous information, but I try to pick out the truth regarding Planet X and this winged globe that's coming over. I'm looking here on page 240 at the... hold on.
One of my very dear friends...
All these diagrams of the winged globe... And that's the kind of stuff that is correct, because he's recounting what the ancient people saw. So I try to pluck out the correct information and then reject the erroneous information from Sitchin's books. On page 242 of the 12th Planet, I'd like to read real quick. Indeed, quote, indeed, all the peoples of the ancient world considered the periodic nearing of the 12th Planet as a sign of upheavals, great changes and new eras. The Mesopotamian texts spoke of the planet's periodic appearance as an anticipated, predictable, and observable event. Quote from the text, the great planet, at his appearance, dark red. The heaven he divides in half and stands as Nibiru. Now what that means when the ancient text says the heaven he divides in half, it comes in through the ecliptic plane. It punctures the underside of this invisible huge disk in space on which all the planets revolve around the sun. It penetrates it right at the center, which is between the orbital path of Jupiter and the orbital path of the asteroid belt. That's what the ancients meant when they said this dark red planet divides the heaven in half and stands as Nibiru. Nibiru literally means in Sumerian, planet of the crossing. It's a planet, it comes in, punctures at the center of the solar system between the orbital path of Jupiter and the orbital path of the asteroid belt, comes up through the bottom side of the disk, penetrates the disk, and at one point it stands side by side, shoulder to shoulder with the Jupiter on one shoulder and the asteroid belt on the other shoulder. That's where I believe it is right now. And then it continues in its whipping, in its looping around the sun. It comes up from under the sun, under our solar system, and loops around over the top of the orbital paths of the planets and its eventual rendezvous with the sun. Because why would that be? Well, it's quite understandable that a massive object like, such as this brown dwarf star, which has a mass of estimated to be at least minimum 1,000 Earth masses, would be gravitationally attracted to our sun, which is estimated to be 1/3 of 1,000,000 Earth masses. 330,000 Earth masses is the estimated mass of the sun. Large gravitational bodies pulled together with a tremendous gravitational force. And that's how this planet was pulled into our solar system in the first place. So now its rendezvous is with the sun. It will not hit the sun, but will whip around the sun like a, sort of like David's, King David's slingshot, his sling, where you put a rock into a sling and you whirl it over your head and release it. It's going to loop over our sun, but before it gets there, it has to travel through the ecliptic plane, over the orbital path of the asteroid belt, and then over the orbital path of the next inner planet, which is Mars, and then over the planet in orbital path of the next inner planet, which is Earth, and so on until it loops over the top of the sun and then plunges back down into the ecliptic plane from above, through the ecliptic plane and then down out of our solar system, down below the solar ecliptic disk, far, far away on its return journey to its distant, our distant twin sun, dead sun, billions and billions of miles away, where it will take another 36 and a half centuries to return again to whack Earth and the solar system, just as it did 36 and a half centuries ago during the Exodus from Egypt, just as it did 36 and a half centuries before that, 5300 B.C., the time of Noah's flood when the earth was destroyed, just as it did 36 and a half centuries before 5300 B.C., Noah's flood, when it caused the sinking of Atlantis around 9000 B.C. It's a recurring wrecking ball.
Amazing. John, I've got all sorts of questions that our listeners have sent us. And Doug, do you have any more comments, or can I get on to the questions from the listeners? Oh, I guess we've lost Doug in Arkansas. Okay. Let me start off with...
Ray Ellen, may I just read a little bit more? I'm sorry I got distracted, but Sitchin's reading. Sitchin goes on to say, many of the texts dealing with the planet's arrival were omen texts, prophesying the effect the event would have upon Earth and mankind. R. Campbell Thompson reports in his book The Reports of the Magicians and Astronomers of Nineveh and Babylon. R. Campbell Thompson reproduced several such texts which trace the progress of this planet X as it ringed, what they call ringed the station of Jupiter. Again, that's what I described, where it comes in near Jupiter. And it arrived at the point of crossing Nibiru. And here's what R. Campbell Thompson in his book stated, quoted from the ancient Mesopotamian texts about the intrusion of this planet. Quote, the ancients say, when from the station of Jupiter, that's what we're talking about, the orbital path of Jupiter, this planet passes towards the west, there will be a time of dwelling in security. Kindly peace will descend on the land. Well, actually, that peace has not occurred yet. It may be a false peace from the Antichrist, I don't know. And continuing on with the Mesopotamian text, when from the station of Jupiter the planet increases in brilliance, and in the zodiac of Cancer will become Nibiru, that is, the planet of the crossing. It goes on with some ancient names and et cetera. I'm going to skip a few passages. It says, the lands will dwell securely, the hostile kings will be at peace. I don't see that happening. Well, maybe that's happening right now, temporarily. Now, Sitchin goes on to say, the nearing planet, now this is, I think, relevant to what's happening to us today now. The nearing planet, however, was expected to cause rains and flooding, as its strong gravitational effects have been known to do. Again, Sitchin quotes from the Mesopotamian texts, when the planet of the throne of heaven will grow brighter, there will be floods and rains. How do you like that? That's what we're getting right now. I mean, tremendous historical floods. So this, I think we can index these prophecies to what's happening right now. So it's, they're saying when the planet of the throne of heaven will grow brighter, there will be floods and rains. That's what the ancient Mesopotamians told us from their eyewitness accounts 36 and a half centuries ago. So there we go. We've got a clue as to what's about to happen. We got the rains and floods. Therefore, we're going to see this planet growing brighter and brighter as it approaches closer and closer overhead, over the top of Earth's head, on its way to its rendezvous with the sun.
Oh, boy. Just amazing. Can I take the comments that have come in from our readers now?
Sure.
Okay. One sent all the different logos that are associated with this winged disc. We've got Bentley, we've got the Mini Cooper, we've got Harley Davidson, Aston Martin, even the Chevy logo is a stylized winged disc, Southwest Airlines, and it just goes on and on.
Wow, that's amazing. And the U.S. Air Force, too.
And the U.S. Air Force.
You know, when you look at remember the Thunderbird from the ancient, was it Southwestern American Indians, the Thunderbird?
Oh, yes, I remember that.
That Thunderbird is it's a later phase of this winged globe, because what happens is the winged globe takes on a vertical beam, a glowing vertical beam, which is the result of discharging plasma from the winged globe as it gets close to Earth. It discharges in a vertical plasma beam. So now you have not only the outstretched arms of this winged globe, but you also have a discharging vertical beam, both of which together form the sign of the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied. He said that toward at the end of the world, when the judgment would come upon mankind, everyone would look up in the sky and see the sign of the Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man. And everyone knows that the sign of the Lord Jesus is the cross. So everyone's going to see a glowing red cross in the sky. As this thing discharges, at first it'll blow out these swirls of streaming plasma arms to each side of the winged globe, and then it'll discharge. When it gets close enough, the electrostatic forces between this mass of plasma from this overflying comet will get strong enough so that it will discharge to Earth and form a column beam. And they believe that this kind of discharging occurred at the in the Bible. The Star of Bethlehem was actually a comet, a smaller comet, not a massive destructive comet, but a smaller one that was able to discharge in a benign way without a lot of energy to the Earth and form a marker, an index point, a GPS, so to speak, an ancient biblical GPS guidance post for the kings of the East who came to see the birth of the Son of Man.
Okay. Wow. I think this fits right in here. So, right in with what you've just said. This comes from one of our listeners. He says, Satan is Nibiru, is the winged globe, is Shiva, is the red dragon, is the born-again Lucifer. The system of dual divinities opposes two cosmic forces, one static, the other dynamic, one uniformitarian, the other catastrophist. I now think that the foundation of the United States was one of several Freemasonic projects launched in anticipation of the events now unfolding.
Yeah, I think there's some truth in that.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, you know a lot about that yourself, Ray Ellen, about the history of the founding of the United States. Well, we can take that to the Luciferian level. And, you know, God is really bringing these planets in there into cause destruction. Indeed, these are of such cosmological magnitude that only God, and God has promised destruction, judgment on Earth, after many centuries of patient, wooing of mankind and watching mankind degenerate to a position, to a point where they are dominated primarily and very strongly by Satan and demonic forces, but God is bringing out, extracting, rescuing a small cadre of believers who will be a minority, certainly a minority, but that minority will grow as the fear of this devastation approaches. Because I can tell you from personal experience that when your life, and I was threatened with death one time, and I was a belligerent atheist. I just hated the whole concept of God and Jesus. I thought it was all a lie, and I thought it was the concept of Christianity was the cause of all wars and death in the world. Well, I was misled. Actually, it was man, not God. Just like you see the distortion and a perversion of Christianity, of the Christian doctrine today in all the churches. It's man's evil, not God. But anyway, I hated Christianity. But at one point in life, my life was threatened. I was in the Vietnam War, and we were attacked one night. And, you know, when you're sleeping in bed and you're under attack, that's a very frightening thing. I figured, well, I immediately thought that this might be my last night on Earth. And a belligerent atheist that I was, I never would even think about even considering praying to God. Instantaneously, I knew God in an instant because that fear brought me to Him. And I called out to Him and I said, Dear God, please, if you could just save me, if I can wake up tomorrow morning and see the sun coming out over those rice paddies, I will follow you and believe in you. Well, I woke up the next morning, and I saw the sun come up, and now that I was safe, I didn't need God anymore.
That's right. How many of us have done that? And you can hear the music. We're going to break. We're going to be right back with John DiNardo and more questions from our readers. That's radioquestion@mindspring.com. Radioquestion@mindspring.com. We'll be back. And welcome back. Welcome back. This is Brandon Allen, and you are listening to Radio RMN, brought to you over the Micro Effect Radio Network. And I just want to remind everybody, it's Joe at themicroeffect.com's birthday today. And you really need to send him a present over PayPal to tell him how very much you respect what he has done with the Micro Effect. And I also want to say that, John, we are number three on TalkStream Live. Sean Hannity is ahead of us. Michael Medved is ahead of us. And then here we are. And we've got Laura Ingram that is below us, Glenn Beck, but that's a repeat. But Financial Survival, Jerry Doyle, Dennis Prager, Dave Ramsey, Dennis Miller, those aren't repeats, and we're above all those people. And can you imagine the millions of dollars they get paid every year, and yet you
truth
and I
is more valuable.
Anything
truth.
For doing what we do. We're number
truth
three.
Is that more valuable. Truth is more valuable than money, and we're beginning to see that more and more. There's something important that I have to finish, and I'll try to make this brief. I was talking about the W of the jet stream, W formed by the jet stream across the United States, where typically and consistently from 2004 to 2009, I have documented the jet stream pattern with a peak of a W extending to around the Canadian-U.S. border, and the trough of the W extending down to maybe the southwest, southern United States. And note that W would roll across the United States. Now, there's been a drastic change as of late 2009, 2010, which suggests to me that Planet X has indeed come up from below the ecliptic and has now penetrated the ecliptic plane, that invisible disk is based on which all the planets revolve around the sun, and it penetrated around between Jupiter and the asteroid belt, because what I'm seeing now is sort of an indication of that, a drastic change in that jet stream pattern. The W, if you can visualize the W that I just described, in, you know, which is the jet stream, the pulling cold air down into the trough of that W and sucking warm air up into the vertex, the center of the W, where the cold air would clash on the margin of the W, on the actual vertical, the diagonal line of that W, the cold air would clash with the warm air and cause tremendous turmoil and turbulence in the weather conditions. Primarily in the Midwest. The Midwest has been catching hell for the last 9 years with tornadoes and hailstorms and everything. Now that W, very abruptly in 2009, 2010, has magnified, and now the W covers the entire northern hemisphere. The peak of the W begins up around Alaska. The trough of the W goes all the way down to the Caribbean Sea, very close to the northern border of Venezuela. The vertex of the W, the center of it, that is, extends now all the way up into the upper northern Atlantic near Iceland, comes down around cuts right into Europe, and the trough of the W then ends up, the second trough of the W ends up around northern Africa. So you have a W, the jet stream, which is began with, at a very abnormal pattern in 2004 as a W instead of a horizontal line, which it had been for decades and decades. That W has now expanded to tremendous proportions. It's very worrisome, and it's indicative of this that this planet is in the solar system and about to cause great destruction. The southern hemisphere is catching the worst of it because, it's still sort of below, probably below the ecliptic. We have another indication, and that is comets smashing into the southern hemisphere of Jupiter. And these comets have been ignored. Photographs have been concealed by NASA, by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. However, there's an astronomer named John Anthony Wesley, Anthony Wesley from Australia, who has been taking these photographs, and NASA has been shamed into publicizing these photographs from Anthony Wesley, because if they didn't, then they would get out to the world, and then people would realize that NASA is a fraud, has been defrauding us. So we have more evidence by what these numerous comets crashing into, photographs of these comets crashing into the southern hemisphere of Jupiter. Now the comet crashes appear to be moving upward, more northerly on Jupiter, and toward the equatorial belt of Jupiter. And here's another worrisome, very worrisome development. Jupiter has lost its belt, you know, over the last several months, 6 months or so. And this, of course, portends the suggestive of planetary interactions with this foreign planet, this brown dwarf star that is coming in and causing some type of gravitational and electromagnetic effects on planet Jupiter. So we see now a turning point in the meteorological rampages that are occurring on Earth right now, and also the geological, the earthquakes and the volcanic eruptions. I think we're headed for a new phase of increased intensity in both weather and earthquakes and volcanic eruptions.
Okay. Have you come to a stopping point? Because I've got some questions from listeners that are really quite... They're perfect for what you've just talked about. One of the questions is, why wipe us out?
Yeah, I mean, that again, I see that as satanically driven, as spiritual forces, their purpose is to kill. And again, you have to look to the scriptures which have proven to be supernaturally, amazingly accurate in their prophecies over the ages. And the scriptures tell us that this demonic spirit, Satan, and his many followers, fallen angels that have rebelled with him, are their purpose is to kill as many people as they possibly can, in as many ways as they possibly can. And these men, these minions of the spiritual demons, devils, who are in the Illuminati, who rule the world at the highest levels of power, highest echelons of power in the world, are following the demonic guidance of these spirits. They don't know it, but their minds are influenced by that. Just as, you know, I guess I should use this. I may offend some people by using this example. Take a look at these sports fans in football games or baseball games. They are maniacal, hysterical,
fanatically
loving, fanatical. That's why they call them fans, right? The word fan is derived from fanatic. Fanatically worshipful of these sport athletes. This is not a normal characteristic of the human spirit, but it's a demonic characteristic. It's the way the demons get us to worship something other than God. So they know that we have a certain period of time testing on Earth whereby God has given us an opportunity to trust in Him, to reach and to commune with Him in our minds. If we reach a day of our death, when we no longer breathe and we're pronounced dead, and we have not reached that point, we have failed to recognize the existence and the embrace of God, then we will cease to exist as a spirit for all eternity. That short, brief candle flicker of life will be gone, snuffed out forever. However, so if they can get us to go on wasting our time worshipping sports athletes and women and the opposite sex and wonderful diversions and entertainment, well, then our life is going to draw to an end, and we will have missed the opportunity for eternal life in a brand new, indestructible body, which God promises us in the scriptures, a brand new, indestructible, eternal body in a world that's going to be recreated. This world will be recreated to be far greater and far more wonderful than ever anyone can imagine, but we will have missed that opportunity unless we punch through, penetrate that smoke screen of diversion that is being foisted upon us. and go back to what the American Indians, the Native Americans, would have communed with nature and just, you know, get their minds into that natural atmosphere to find God in their hearts and see His invisible existence.
Well,
that's the challenge to us before we pass away.
Yeah, it's like we've got many challenges.
Each day is precious toward that goal.
Yeah. One of our listeners wanted to remind us that today is 1-11-11. And of course you and I commented on that when we booked this particular time, 1-11-11. And I can't imagine anybody better than you to have on this day. And she says that I notice your signal gets interfered with every time Mr. DiNardo gets specific by using specific names. When he analyzed Mr. Obama's name in reference to the event, I missed the whole thing. I wonder if other people are having that problem, that somebody's blocking you out when you are...
It could be. You know, I like to repeat that. This man is so representative. This man in the event, President, I forget his name, President Rodriguez. But
yeah,
he's
a black Cuban.
Attractive black man, you know, has lots of charisma. And he obviously represents President Obama. And what he's saying is he's the good guy who's going to embrace these aliens because they're so wonderful and loving, and all they want to do is stop us from killing each other. They want to bring peace to the entire world. A one-world government, so to speak. A one-world government where there's nothing but peace and love, and nations are no longer warring against one another. Can you imagine? No more nuclear war, no more threats of war. Just a peaceful world governed by these wonderful, loving, powerful, all-powerful spirits. But don't cross them. Don't rebel against them because they can destroy you. They have the power to destroy you. And that's the whole theme of this alien series. This event, the series titled The Event. They're getting us prepped for perhaps President Obama to actually take us into a real-life situation it becomes a reality. It takes the event, or the fictitious series, The Event, into reality for all of us, where we are confronted with these angels or demons or aliens, so to speak. They call them aliens, but they're really demonic spirits. That's what we have to watch out for. And then Project Bluebeam brings Messiah to us in a hokey, duplicitous, treacherous fashion, where we are led to believe that the Lord Jesus is coming in the sky. But in scriptures, they warn us about this. They say, if they tell you he's coming in the desert or he's in a secret chamber, don't believe it. Because deceit, if it were possible, even the very elect, the very chosen of God, would be deceived. That's what we're approaching, the great deception.
Yes. Wow. Well, I had one more one that I wanted to read, and I absolutely cannot find it now. Maybe this is it. Let me just see. Nope, I don't have it. I have lost it. I must have deleted it. So if you sent me an email and I didn't read it, it's because I accidentally deleted it. Sorry about that. Wow.
Oh, let me tell you real quick. These are the things that we can experience. And I was talking about fear. When people, right now, most people are so happy with their football and their TV. And, you know, to me, it's a wonderful attraction to see all these wonderful modern-day diversions in life, all this entertainment. It's so attractive. But what's going to happen is that we are going to be experiencing such devastation. And this is what the ancients had showed us. Some of the things that occur. The earth, the crust of the earth, will actually turn into a roller coaster when this thing gets close enough. And the reason is the earth is being attracted gravitationally and electromagnetically by these approaching comets. And of course, the closer it gets, the greater the force of attraction a spin is being put on the crust, the very thin lithospheric crust of the Earth. Think of the crust again as the shell, the fractured shell of an egg. And a spin is being put on that, on the actually the egg white inside the egg. That's analogous to the magma, which is hundreds of miles of deep of molten rock, which has magnetic material in it, below the crust, okay? So that all that magma, that thick sort of egg white section of the Earth, is being pulled magnetically and gravitationally by these approaching comets. And when that happens, the Earth's crust is pulled, is slid across the top. That shell of the egg is slid across the white, and when you have sliding, you have friction. When you have friction, you have heat. So the Earth's underneath the lithosphere is beginning to heat up, causing ocean volcanoes. Volcanic activity has been expressed and revealed by scientists now. Increased underwater volcanoes are occurring. But what's going to happen is eventually the pull, the gravitational and magnetic pull from these planets passing comets, particularly Planet X, the big guy, is going to cause the mantle to actually wave underneath the Earth, and that will cause the crust riding on top of the mantle to also wave. And you will see, this has been expressed by Mark Hazelwood in over the years in his writings about Planet X, and also by James McCanney, you will see tidal waves on the Earth. You could be in the Arizona desert, and you'll see a tidal wave hundreds of feet high coming at you.
Yeah, like what's happening in Australia. Anyway, we've got some comments from the
And this, that's what's going to cause people to be so fearful that they will call out to God. That's the important point I wanted to bring out. Right now, they don't care about God, but the fear will drive them toward God.
We've got people in the chat room that want you to know it's a brilliant show. And Jack Mack says, man, oh man, great show. And we've got Tom in Kentucky on the line. So, Tom, what was your comment or question?
Ray, I can barely hear you.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, since we're talking about Nibiru, I have a couple questions. The late Zachariah, he definitely didn't have all the answers, but he definitely steered us in many right paths. First question, do you believe that Nibiru is inhabited? There's a train of thought that believes the Anunnaki live in the planet, and the Anunnaki mentioned in the Old Testament were in a war. They were mentioned several times as being giants, and the question I have is the Anunnaki apparently genetically engineered some humans to be miners for gold, and they need gold for their atmosphere. Do you see any truth in any of that?
This is a part of the Great Deception. Actually, it's fallen angels. You see, there is no way that Planet X could be inhabited by any kind of life that we know of. Flesh and blood could never exist on Planet X because its mass is estimated to be minimum 1,000 Earth masses. That's minimum. That's a puny, the puniest brown dwarf star you can imagine. If 1,000 Earth masses would crush any being, even if it was a giant, they would be instantaneously crushed and turned to liquid on a planet of such mass by the gravitational pull of a planet that large. Also, it's in a state of, it's a brown dwarf star, and by definition, it is in a state of partial or incipient nuclear fusion, thermonuclear fusion, and the heat and radiation would just destroy any life. So there's no life on it. It's part of the Great Deception. The truth is these are demonic spirits. They do not need a planet to ride, to cruise in on us, to land on planet Earth because, I mean, they do not need a vehicle or a planet to cruise in here because they come through another dimension. They're already here. They're already intensifying in numbers on Earth. There is, again, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, for he knows that he has but a short time. Also, in the scriptures of the book of Revelation is God's way of warning us what's going to happen right now. And he says that Michael and his angels had war in heaven with the dragon, Satan, and his angels, and Michael prevailed, and the dragon and his angels were cast down to earth. They're coming to earth now. They're coming through another dimension. They do not need a physical vehicle. What we're seeing now is hatred intensifying because of the demonic spirits influencing people. That's why it's all the more important that we call out to God, sit there peacefully, even for a moment, no matter whether we're driving, washing the dishes, shoveling snow, mowing the lawn. While we're doing these tasks on our daily life that is gradually ebbing away toward death, we feel the presence of God. You don't have to call him Jesus. You just call him God, my Creator. Try to imagine his existence, and he will then begin to work in your life to protect you from the influences of these demonic spirits, which are bringing us to hatred, violence, and eternal death. That's their purpose. When you die, you do not have an, you do not live again. You just die, and your spirit ceases to exist. That's their goal. We want to defeat them.
Okay. I understand the concept of walking in the spirit daily, all day long, but still, the question is, not on the planet, but in the planet, and the tie with the Old Testament, the Anuks being mentioned in the Old Testament,
Genesis chapter 6,
and the idea that they need gold. And
Genesis chapter 6, you're talking about, right? When the Nephilim were cast down. That's the same thing happened thousands
of
years ago.
Well, they're actually named the Anuk. And,
but that was Genesis chapter 6, the Nephilim.
Okay.
And the Nephilim is a Hebrew word. Nephil means cast down, im. The suffix im, im, means simply plural people, like we are goyim, meaning we are goyim, meaning the foreign or the Gentile peoples. So, but the prefix Nephil means cast down, if you look at the Strong's Concordance of the Hebrew language. So these were cast down by God from heaven. So again, you see in the ancient times, you see the repeat. Ancient history is the book of Revelation is ancient scriptures, deja vu. In other words, Revelation is the book of Genesis, deja vu. Revelation is the book of Exodus, deja vu, where the Israelites were taken by God away from Satan's control, Pharaoh, out of Egypt, and brought out of their enslavement, their bondage to Satan. It just says we're in bondage to the New World Order. That was the Pharaoh of their day. So today's development of crossing the liberation from bondage in Egypt will be replayed again very soon, as it is described in the book of Revelation. These angels came down in Genesis as Nephilim, and now they're doing the same thing again and again. And the final passage, we have the demonic influence upon humankind.
John, you're
all right, thanks very much.
This is the end. You're going to have to agree to come back really soon because everybody loves you, and 3 hours is not enough to hear everything you have to say. So we're going to get John back on. Thank you so much for doing this show. It has just been incredible, and everyone that is listening agrees with me. And tomorrow, everybody, you know tomorrow is Wednesday. You know what that means. We're going to have our special guests here, and so I will see you tomorrow along with Field and David. Bye, John. Bye, everyone. And remember, it's Joe's birthday, and do something wonderful for him. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.